good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 19th day of August 2025. And of course, we got Mike Humble and Tim O'Dell in with us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
How y'all doing?
We're blessed.
Blessed.
We are blessed. And highly favored.
Highly flavored.
Or flavored, yeah, whichever one. I mean, you know.
I don't know what flavor he is.
I told somebody once, and said, what flavor are you? I said, I like chocolate pretty good. I'll go with chocolate.
Good.
Yeah, chocolate, butter, pecan, whatever you want to.
You like that ice cream then,
huh? Oh, I love ice cream.
Oh, it's good stuff.
It is. Can't you tell I like ice cream?
Good stuff, Brian.
I like anything that tastes good. I put it that way.
Ice cream, we all scream for ice cream and something like that.
Yeah, you scream, I scream, we all scream for ice cream. You can't go wrong with ice cream, that's for sure. But I don't know why we started off with ice cream, but you're making me hungry, by the way, for ice cream.
It's summer, and summertime we used to make homemade ice cream all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good stuff.
Sat out under the shade tree and eat homemade ice cream.
So what's your favorite homemade ice cream?
My grandmother made a vanilla custard, which was my favorite. And then other members of the family made it. Peach was their favorite, or banana.
Peach is good.
I like banana. Banana is one of my faves.
I prefer that vanilla custard, but no, people don't mind. She cooked it before she froze it.
Yeah.
And it was different than...
than what you usually would. Now, Mike, what about your... what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Well, you know, if it's homemade, I guess peach would be good.
Peach, oh, yeah,
good stuff. That'd be mighty good.
Very good.
Of course, otherwise, I like it all, ice cream.
That's right. Just
you know, ice cream is good.
Put me a scoop.
Man does not live by bread alone. He has to have ice cream.
That's it.
Can you give me coffee.
Yeah,
and coffee.
Yeah, okay. Give me the passage for that, please.
that's 1 Michael 2.
1 Michael 2.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Mike, what are we going to talk about a little bit today here on the front porch?
Well, I just want to talk about a few things I've seen God do through the years. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8.
Amen.
If he's the same,
mm-hmm.
why do we not think he's the same today as he was yesterday, as he is forever?
A primary doctrine is the immutability of God. That means he cannot, does not, will not change in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
It doesn't. Right. Nothing's impossible with God.
Absolutely.
We've been so commercialized, I guess, by television all this other stuff that we don't believe like we used to believe sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, I mean, I think about this is missionary radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about Ken Cummings, and he was on the mission field for years. And I've done a lot of mission work.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my first time on the mission field was with a Methodist church out of here in Hopkinsville.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Jamaica
on
a mission. You know, we was building a building down there, a church, and it hooked me for missions, you know, because God has called us to go into all the world.
Absolutely.
Now, I've had a lot of people tell me, well, why do you go somewhere else? You got enough work to do around here. Well, yeah, there's plenty of work to do around here.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it are you doing, I ask them.
There you go. How much are you doing? Yeah, you know, things will be brought up, you know, well, there's different organizations that need help and stuff like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, that we should help all we can to whatever, you know, if it's missions here or missions there, you know, I think we should help. That's my thoughts.
We're told to preach the gospel.
That's it.
We're not told to do a lot of the things that we do and call missions.
That's true.
We are commanded to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those other things are good,
mm-hmm.
but good is not necessarily best.
That's true.
Our best should be the proclamation of the gospel, because it's the gospel that sets people free.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else will do that.
That's right. Very true.
So we lose focus because we get caught up in the peripheral issues.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not important.
Yeah.
There are a lot of peripheral issues that are important.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And, you know, Tim, I'm noticing more and more people will say, well, we are seeing the signs of the time. You know, people say that Jesus is coming soon, and we've heard that, I know, all our lives. And one day, yes, Jesus is going to return.
Come, Lord Jesus.
That's right. But some people believe that, you know, that the signs that are going on now, that they just need to stop working because Jesus is coming back. Well, that's not true.
You can't back that up with Scripture.
No, we got to continue working and up until the day Jesus returns.
Yeah, and for no man knows the day nor the hour.
Yep.
We can see the signs of the times, but not the day nor the hours.
That's right.
We need to be busy about the Lord's work until the Lord comes.
Mm-hmm. So we have these people that come up and say, Jesus is going to return on a certain day at a certain time.
Can't back it up with Scripture.
You cannot back that up with Scripture.
No,
so,
no.
You know, I want to encourage people to make sure, once again, like we mentioned this morning, read your Bible. Take it in.
Study
your Bible. Really take all that in because, listen, just like what Tim said, nobody knows the day nor the hour. Not even the Son of Man knows. Only the Father knows.
Now, it's interesting that after the resurrection, he knew and told him, it's not for you to know.
Yeah.
Different response.
Yeah, well, that's
same,
true.
Same question. So Christ in the flesh denied himself some knowledge because it served God's purposes, because he was absolutely obedient to the Father.
Yeah.
But after the resurrection, he and the Father were in absolute unison.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells us not to worry about that, but to worry about our relationship with him.
Yes, yes.
Love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself.
Yes.
If I truly love my neighbor, I'm going to tell him about Jesus.
Absolutely.
Well, we forget the simple gospel is the power of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is a simple gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to earth to take away the sins of the world.
Yes.
He was crucified. In other words, he's dead. He was buried. Mm-hmm. And the third day he arose again from the dead.
Amen.
He's alive.
Amen. He's alive.
Now he's ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father and blesses us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
At Missionary Radio, every song, every scripture, every word of encouragement you hear is made possible by you. We're not funded by commercials. There's no big corporation writing checks. It's friends like you, listeners who love Jesus and want others to know him, who keep this ministry going. Right now, giving is down, and our next Carathon isn't until October, but the need is real today. If this station has blessed your life, if it's helped you through a tough day, drawn you closer to Christ, or filled your home with peace, would you prayerfully consider stepping in right now? You're not just giving to a station. You're giving so hope can be heard 24 hours a day. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, or mail your gift to P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Missionary Radio, sharing the love of Jesus because he's worth it.
And we want to say welcome back to the front porch here on this Tuesday morning. And, of course, it's going to be a nice warm day, 97 degrees. But guess what? There is a chance. There is a 30% chance of rain this afternoon. So
that's good.
So that's a little bit of plus. So
well, and we need the rain.
We need the rain because I tell you what, I stepped out. I was walking yesterday working on my mama's mailbox, and I said, man, my grass is crunchy. I mean, you know, it needs some rain, you know.
Yeah, it's been so hot, my wife has not enjoyed being in her pool.
Really?
She has reduced her pool time because of the heat.
Now, that's, you know, most people like to get in the pool when it's hot outside.
Well, she says she likes being in the pool, but when it's so hot that it's stifling.
Yeah. Not interesting.
It's not as much fun.
I got you.
You know, it's supposed to be. It's summer.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Summer is supposed to be hot.
It's supposed to be hot. Now, and when we talk about it, Mike will be saying here in a little bit, it sure is cold outside. I wish it'd warm back up.
Yeah.
But now I like cooler weather, so I don't fuss too much about the cooler weather. But
I like the middle. I like spring and fall.
There you go.
Well, it's moderate temperatures, not too hot, not too cold.
That's it.
I have the Goldilocks.
You have the Goldilocks.
Goldilocks of weather.
Oh, me. So this morning, talking about some
experiences.
Experiences that,
I've seen,
that you've
on the mission field. Seen. You know, when we talk about missions, we need to keep missions alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't hear people talking about missions as much as I used to, I don't think, because I don't know. I hang in different – because, you know, Tim and I are prison ministers.
Uh-huh. You know, sure.
Some of the conversations you hear in prison are certainly not edifying.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but
some of them in the middle of the service, they're not very good.
No, it's not. So, you know, there's a whole lot of difference, you know, in the prison service.
Sure, yeah.
And you're – straight church services. So
I've done things in prison services I never would have done in the church. And, you know, like you guys don't hush.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have you removed.
I'm going to have you removed.
Exactly.
Now, you couldn't do that in church. Now, listen, guys, if y'all don't stop, we're going to have you removed.
Well, I have done that once in church.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come in and demonstrate and stuff. And,
yeah.
And, act up on purpose.
Well, yeah.
You know, to disrupt.
Yeah, to disrupt.
You, you know, prison has several different religions.
Yeah.
They're allowed to worship anything they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's
Make
a few up along the way. You know? I tell people, if you want to worship a tree, that's okay, but that tree ain't going to talk to you.
That's true.
But if you're going to disrupt somebody else when they're having their service, we were respectful. You know, when the Muslims met, we didn't disrupt them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever group it was, because you'll have groups in prison that will follow religion just so they get a special meal or whatever.
Sure, sure.
You know, or some kind of privilege to get out or whatever on a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some of them are gangs and stuff like that.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Because prisons have changed so much, the gangs have become so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Tim really dealt with them. And where was that in out west when you was – or Texas?
Well,
he was a warden.
I had problems with the gangs in Minnesota.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I had problems with the gangs in Oklahoma. Major problems in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Had some wars on the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Put a bunch of people in the hospital one day. Gangs are explosive groups of violent men, and they can become triggered, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
And go to war with one another.
Sure, sure. Now, when a lot of those guys come in to the prison, I mean, are some of them already in gangs that's been established over the years, or they just start their own gangs when they get into prison?
No, most of them have gang affiliations before they get there.
Before they get there.
And then a leader will rise up with that same affiliation within a particular institution and begin to gather others to him.
Oh, okay.
And then there's another one from an opposing organization, and they'll begin to establish their territories.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in places, and this is specifically true in some prisons out west.
Sure.
Give you an example. In the California system, specific areas of the yard are controlled by specific gangs.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
You don't, if you're not in that gang, you don't go in that part of the yard.
Wow. So what about if you're just not a part of a gang at all? Does that make it hard?
Oh, it makes it very difficult.
Yeah.
Most young men that end up joining gangs in prisons do it for protection.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
You have Christian gangs in prison as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
People that group together with common interest in order to have a number of people so they can protect themselves against others.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's a dog-eat-dog kind of world.
Sure, sure.
And it's usually dictated by numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got more numbers than anybody else, you kind of run the yard.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, whoever's got the most.
Prison is a different world, you know. And I think of Ken Cummings. His family was involved in prison, you know,
for years
and stuff, years for years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and people are listening to us right now in prison, in jail.
Yes, Yes, in jail, prison, yeah.
You know, I know they tune in sometimes at the prison they used to.
Yeah.
And listen to the radio, Christian radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christian radio is so important.
It is, you know, because
it is so important.
It reaches so many people, you know, in different areas.
Well, it penetrates darkness.
It does.
It's light cutting through darkness.
It does, yeah.
You know.
And you never know what particular message is going to reach that one individual.
Right.
That's it.
I've seen guys come in and testify that they picked up a track on the yard that somebody else had threw down.
Mm-hmm.
And others come in where they heard a radio. Have one guy get saved one day who was sitting outside listening to a sermon inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And jumped up and ran around the fences to get to the chapel to run down the aisle and declare he wanted to give his life to Christ.
There you go.
Amen. You got some coming up here. What we got?
We do. We got Penn from the Heart, and then we'll be back in just a few moments.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your wonderful ministry that blesses so many. The first time I heard contemporary Christian music was on your station. From a Cedar Hill listener, thanks, love you all. Also from Clarksville, thank you for everything you do. Your prayers helped so much. Trust the Father. From Hopkinsville, Missionary Radio is such an encouragement.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Right here on Missionary Radio, and this is The Front Porch. Of course, Mike Hummel and Tim O'Dell in with us this morning and having a good conversation. And, Mike, what is some of the things you have seen?
Oh, my gosh.
That you would like to maybe mention?
Well, you know, Tim and I was talking about prison. I don't know how we got on prison, but Tim was a warden, deputy warden, you know, been in prison ministry for years, and, mm-hmm. and to see hard people, as Tim said, come to Christ is one of the greatest things you can see.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody coming to Christ is the greatest thing you can see. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen miracles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people being healed and set free and devils mm-hmm. cast out and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But coming to Christ, a hardened person coming to Christ
yeah,
is a tremendous, I mean— That's what we rejoice over.
It's miraculous.
It's miraculous.
Well, I think we was mentioning it off the air. You know, every time that somebody gives their life to Jesus, that the angels even rejoice.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it still amazes me today that some of the best pastors used to either be a drug addict or an alcoholic, and they just lived a really, really rough life.
Yeah.
But the Lord just come in and cleaned them up and turned them into a minister. And you're sitting here thinking, wow, I remember what that person used to be like.
Well, there's a friend of mine who just died recently.
Mm-hmm.
Who, wonderful teacher, preacher, mm-hmm. musician.
Yeah.
Wrote Christian songs.
Mm-hmm.
Went in and performed them in prisons primarily.
Yeah.
He had done, I think, 22 or 23 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Hard, 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 hard.
Yeah.
God ran him down. That's his phrase.
Yeah.
God ran me down. And once he got him,
yeah,
he didn't go gently. He went 190% full tilt
mm-hmm.
and got threatened by others mm-hmm. but stayed the course.
There you go.
And God did a great work in Bobby's life. Bobby's mm-hmm. transformation was so encouraging to other men.
Sure.
You know, he was telling me one day, he says, one of my old inmate partners
mm-hmm.
said, if God can change you, he can do anything.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Bobby said, that's the truth, brother.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's truth. I mean, he can change anybody.
So we can talk about men that we've seen that were so hard,
goodness.
So dangerous, so incredible, and God transformed them into one of the kindest, completely different way of speaking, walking, mm-hmm. carrying themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Everything
mm-hmm.
changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Scripture says? If any man be in Christ, he is a
new creature.
Creation or a new creature.
Creation. Yeah.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things become
mm-hmm.
new.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that with our eyes.
If there is not a change in a person, then something's not right.
Very true.
Yeah. You know,
we have to see a change. You know, if somebody says, "Hey, I've made it right with God, and I live for God," but you're still living like the world, then something's not right.
When I got saved, I was still a policeman.
Yeah.
My daughter was 11, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking down a riverbank.
Yeah.
And she stopped and put her hands on her hips like a kid will do.
Mm-hmm.
And gave me the best compliment I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Daddy, you're different.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a transformation in who I was and how I thought and what I liked and how I talked.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about me changed almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God continued to work, and he does still.
Sure.
But that transformation is the evidence of my changed heart.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the more you see that, the more you rejoice in it.
Amen. And that's the thing, you know, Tim. He will change everything about you. Like you said, the way you talk, the way you handle yourself, the way you present yourself. He'll change everything about you.
Yeah.
You know.
What you like and what you
don't like. He'll even change your friends.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, your friends have to change.
He'll move old out and bring new in.
You can't get out of the pig pen and turn around and go back in.
That's right. You can't.
You know, I was telling the guys at the jail just Sunday, I think it was, that, hey, you know, you got to change your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you can't always change your family because you have to go back to your family.
Sure, sure.
And a lot of the problems are in the family.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to change your friends.
Yeah.
You can say, No, I'm not going to go riding with you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm not going to hang out. No, I'm not going to that party.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where the change has to come.
Sure,
start changing. Change your friends also.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening to me right now and you're still hanging out with some friends that you're doing things you shouldn't do, they're doing things you shouldn't do, hey, you need change friends.
Need
change friends.
Yeah.
Change the side of the street you're walking on.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, most time those old friends will see that there's a difference in you and they don't want nothing to do with you. It's like an old friend I run into back several months ago, and of course, I knew that he wasn't in church, but I invited him to church. And boy, when I started talking about church, you know what happened?
See ya.
He turned around and walked away from me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, as soon as I started talking about church.
Well, we don't need religion.
Mm-mm.
No.
Religion is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, we need relationship.
Absolutely.
With Christ.
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of religion in America.
Oh, yes.
A lot of religion.
All kinds.
You know, the church don't save you.
No.
Christ saves us.
That's it.
And we should be sharing the gospel. I know I was talking to a missionary, Debbie Roth, who came out of Hopkinsville here, and she's in Guatemala, and some of you hearing me, you know Debbie. And she goes out to the streets now and leads people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And she directs them to a church, you know, hey, to go to church, follow up like that. But
sure, sure.
People put her down and said, hey, if you lead somebody to Christ, you got to disciple them. No, that's not what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
You may be called to sow or reap or water mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, but you do what you're called to do.
That's right.
Be obedient.
Yeah, be obedient. Don't let somebody put you down because you're out there and you can't disciple that person. There's churches on every corner.
Every corner.
You know,
you got that right. Every
in America, the church, it may not be in Bangladesh where I'm minister, and mm-hmm. in Haiti, Haiti's mm-hmm. got churches everywhere too. But I'm going to tell you something. We in America have churches on every corner in every Southern corner. America,
mm-hmm.
in the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a place you can direct somebody to.
Always. Always. Like you said, you know, and it's just like here in Hopkinsville. Of course, I don't live here in Hopkinsville, but, you know, but when I do drive around, I'm sitting here thinking, man, look at all these churches.
Yeah.
There's churches like on, like you said, like every corner. You know, and then of course you look at your, you know, you're looking at your little country churches. There's little country churches all over the place. You know, so there's a church for everybody. If you want to go to church, there's somewhere that you can be fed, you know.
Right.
Sometimes you have to look for the one that you belong in.
That you belong in. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm a firm believer, just like when me and my wife got together and we started going to the church we're at right now, that the Lord led us there. And that's where we have made our home, you know, our church home. And I'm thankful for that, you know, that and if there's ever a day that he leads us somewhere else, then so be it, you know.
Well, I've always said that we're the body of Christ. If you're a body, if you think about it, my big toe don't think like my arm.
That's true.
Huh?
That's true.
I can go around and point my finger, but I can't see out of my finger.
Mm-mm.
You know, we're different parts of the body.
Absolutely.
And what you find a lot of times in finding your church is mm-hmm. different parts of the body like to get together with other parts of the body that's alike.
That's it. That's
and
it.
So, you know, that's you it. Find where you fit. You know, if you try something else, you know.
That's it.
It's okay.
That's it. Well, you're listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and let's break away and get into Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio. Well, Johnny, everybody knows how much you love painting, but here's my question. How do you pick your subject?
Well, often, Shauna, it's from some of my most precious memories. And you know, if you're like me, memories can be vivid. They're crystal clear, even if from decades ago. Like, for instance, the time I painted from a childhood memory, summer days when my family would tent camp along the sand dunes of the Delaware shore. At night, we'd make our campfire by the ocean. We'd sing hymns. And my daddy would always be sure to sing his favorite. The words were, "Brightly beams our Father's mercies from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the waves. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save." After the campfire, we would trudge back over the barrier dune on our way to our tents. And one time my daddy and I paused at the top of that big sand dune. And to the south, we could see the searchlight of the Fenwick Island Lighthouse. And straight ahead, there was the Indian River Bay, and on it, blinking lights. My daddy pointed them out. He said, "See that?" A red light on the bay blinked on, then off, and then a green channel marker did the same. He said, "Those are lower lights, channel markers to show sailors where the water is deep enough for a boat to safely pass." And so I asked Daddy, "Well, is that why we're called lower lights?" And my dad motioned toward the lighthouse on Fenwick Island, explaining that God is the big lighthouse, and yep, we are his lower lights, or what we call nowadays channel markers. We point the way. We show people where the danger is, where it's okay to go, and where the safe harbor is. And then he said to me, "Johnny, you should be like that. Like it says in the Bible, let your light so shine before others." And then we slid down the other side of the dune and walked the rest of the way to our tent. It was just one of those little lessons that passed quickly, but I remember it to this day, so vivid, so clear. God is the greater light, and as lesser lights, we should illuminate the way for others. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so, the whole discussion between daddy and daughter and our time on the top of that sand dune, it became the inspiration for a large oil painting I rendered many decades later. It's a painting of an expansive ocean with a big lighthouse on top of the cliff. And I painted a sweeping, magnificent sunset with deep colors of coral and purple. My favorite part is the sunlight, passing through the curl of the breaking waves, backlighting and giving them an iridescent glow. And you know, the team at Johnny and Friends liked this painting so much that we put it on the cover of my brand new 2026 planner. I worked hard on it, and I think it's one of the most beautiful and colorful planners I've ever done. So to see this lovely painting inspired by that heartwarming life lesson between my daddy and me, go to johnnyradio.org right now. I think you'll like my choice of colors for the ocean and sunset. Again, visit johnnyradio.org to see this gorgeous oil painting and my exciting new 2026 planner. And let my life lesson inspire you today. For God is the greater, the more glorious light, guiding us by his word so that we all may find safe harbor in him. Come see my 2026 planner and the painting at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Anne Graham Lott says in her book, I Saw the Lord, Hurricane Katrina was a resounding wake-up call, not just to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, but to this entire nation. Wake up, America. Disaster can strike at any moment. Your unprecedented prosperity, your advanced technology, your shock at all military do not guarantee you immunity from death, disease, despair, and sudden devastation. God's past blessings do not mean that he will keep you safe at the present or in the future. Your hope is not in the local or state or federal government. Your hope is in the Lord alone. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary Radio, in partnership with TWR.
Here on Missionary Radio, and of course, like we mentioned, we are doing the front porch right now, and I'd like to also mention real quick, Mike, if they want to go back and listen to past broadcasts of the front porch, yes. We have our podcast now on our website at our missionary.radio, and you can go right there and go to the podcast, click on that, and then you'll have the rocking chair pop up. Click on the rocking chair, and then you'll have past programs of the front porch you can go back and listen to. Just like this one will be on there eventually. So if you want to hear Tim talk, I mean, you know, or Mike talk.
Hey, you know, I don't sing. That's a good thing.
you think you'd run people off quick. You run people off?
Well, I've known him a long time. I love him. That's my brother.
But are you saying he can't sing?
He makes a joyful noise.
Well, there you go.
If you stand next to me in church, you'll move.
Yeah. Well, I know.
You know, we're talking someday about jail and prison, and I was, you know, first of all, I want to say thank you for giving. You know, on the board of directors here, we need your gifts because it's been down.
Yes.
And finance has been down, so we need your gifts to keep us on the air, because when you support Christian radio, you're penetrating darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You're spreading light across very dark areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ken and all the staff do a wonderful job here. And so I'm so grateful for those that give, and thank you. Keep on giving. Yes. Share with others to tune in, you know, and listen to it, because it's much more edifying going down the road listening to Christian radio than listening to honky-tonk or whatever it might
honky
be listening.
Tonk.
You remember honky-tonk?
Yeah, I know what honky-tonk music is.
Heard some this morning.
Heard some honky-tonk this morning. So, you know, much better.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just encourage people to tune in. And you've got the call numbers and everything that you put out there and stuff. So, but we was talking about prison ministry. And I want to encourage you out there that are in prison ministry, because I know some of you are listening to Tim and I this morning, and you're doing prison or jail ministry in your local area or maybe at a prison somewhere. And I want to encourage you, keep on doing that.
Sure.
Not everybody does that.
Mm-mm.
You know, and it's not an easy ministry, is it, Tim?
No, it's not easy. And it's amazing how a little bit of effort in that situation is transformative.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the one or two that receive Christ, but their influence going forward on the yard or in the cell block begins to change ever so subtly.
Mm-hmm.
A dark situation and begin to shine a little light.
Mm-hmm.
Prisons are dark places.
Sure.
For a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you overcome darkness is with light.
Absolutely.
You're going in there sharing the gospel is bringing light into darkness.
That's it.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't give up.
I notice, there's one church, I think it's Nortonville, I believe, that they have a jail ministry. And I notice that I always see pictures, you know, and stuff of the guys giving their lives to Jesus and then having a baptismal service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that overjoys me. I mean, you know, some people might say, well, why do I want to see a prisoner get baptized? Or why do I want to see a prisoner? They're bad people.
8 out of 10 of them are going to be back on the street, if not more.
Yeah.
Yep. You're right.
You want to see them become Christians so when they come back out, they're not a threat to your neighborhood.
There you go.
And listen, invite them to church.
Oh, yes.
And don't move the people away from them when they sit down.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean.
No.
I've seen that happen.
And that happened. Hey, this guy's a prisoner. He's a convict. Don't get near him. Don't talk to him.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, God changes. The first convert was a man that done time on death row.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. The first convert.
Mm-hmm.
Right beside Jesus, two of them hanging there.
Yep.
What did he say?
Yep.
He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen.
Called him Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, today you will be with me in
paradise. Yeah.
He didn't look like no Lord. He was beaten worse than we could ever imagine.
Had his beard pulled out by the roots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So he was mangled.
Mangled just terribly.
He allowed the first one to be an inmate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did that, Tim, so that through the ages, we would not forget about men incarcerated.
Sure.
And coming out, too.
Sure.
Because, you know, they need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
When they come out of prison, they need jobs.
Sure they do.
They need encouragement. Their families need to be in church and ministered to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of times they have to go back to a bad environment. Mm-hmm. And I tell them all the time, you know, don't go back there to that. If you can help it, don't go back to that.
That's right. That's right.
And so they have to have a new start sometimes.
We have both known men inside and their families over the years, and we've seen transformations.
Yeah.
That's just dramatic. But it's not instant.
Mm-hmm.
This is not instant grits, just add water. It
sure,
doesn't work that
sure,
way.
Sure.
There's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Person gets saved. And look at your own life. All right.
Sure.
Let me just say. You don't instantly become super Christian.
No, absolutely not.
It's a process.
Absolutely not.
And process has to be continued, has to be nurtured.
Absolutely.
That's why the idea of discipleship exists.
Yep.
Nurturing new believers.
Well, you know, just like myself, I mean, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I failed along the way. I mean, I failed sometimes terribly. But I also knew that I could turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
Amen.
You know,
yes.
He's faithful. For what
you know, for what I've done. But yeah, there was many times I failed along the way, and I'll probably even still fail today. You know.
Sure. Sure.
But also, with, I guess you'd say, with age and with, you know, learning and stuff like that. You know. And the Holy Spirit, now when I get ready to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will start saying, Brian, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. Now, it's your will if you want to do it. But, you know, if you go ahead and do it, then you're going to commit a sin, you know. But it's so much now that the Lord's like, he's right there with you and like, nope, don't do it. You know, and I'll say, I won't do it.
Well, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman.
I'll bite my tongue, you know, but I really want to say something, but I'm going to bite my tongue.
He's a gentleman.
Sure he is.
And sometimes, like a loving father, a little gentle persuasion is required.
Oh, yes. Amen to that.
Well, let's see if you want to try that again.
You want to try it again? Go ahead, try it again. But
I remember my grandfather sitting behind us in church when we were kids. If we get to talking, he'd thump us in the back of the head.
That was
very quietly. Don't do that.
I don't think it was child abuse, do you?
I don't think it was child abuse. I think it was being a good parent or grandparent.
Sure. There was a time too that I've heard my wife talk about it, that even their pastor would get on them if they got out of line.
Yes.
But now, if you let the pastor get on, then you've upset somebody.
I remember Brother Joe calling them down and saying, "Go back to your seat. You've already been."
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Brother Joe Carrico.
Yeah. Brother Joe was quick to do that.
Yeah. I've told our pastor. I said, "You see my girls doing something they shouldn't?" I said, "You tell them. You tell them.
You better believe.
I would expect you to tell them." Yeah. You know, if you see my girls doing something they shouldn't be doing, tell them. I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings a bit. Not a bit. But a lot of people get hurt by that stuff, and you have to be real careful how you can handle stuff like that. But if pastor does it, I said, go ahead, get on them. Tell them.
Believe it. You know, sometimes I know in prison ministry, we've had to call people down before.
Oh, I have.
Right in the middle of a service, you know.
You've been a little out of order there.
Well, again, we're talking about strong personalities.
Well, sure.
Who are used to having their own way.
Sure.
And if you allow it, they'll take it over. And anybody that I know that's done much prison ministry has been challenged at least once in the middle of a service.
Mm-hmm.
And how you respond to that early on will set the tone for the rest of your ministry in that institution.
That's it. It's been good. Anything else you would like to add, Mike?
Just keep up the good work, those that are in jail and prison ministry out there listening to us.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't give up. Just keep
Hold fast.
On. Hold fast.
Amen.
You're making a difference. You're making a difference.
Amen. Well, Mike, would you pray us out of here,
brother? Yes, sir. Lord, we just thank you for the missionary radio and all that goes on and going across the air. And I do pray for those in jail and prison ministry today that's hearing us, that you would just encourage them. And have others encourage them. It's in the church and in the place that they operate. And so we thank you for that. We pray for men to come to know you in these incarcerated areas. And we thank you, Lord, for caring for us and protecting us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike and Tim. And thanks for listening to The Front Porch this morning. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.